This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, James Jones, and special guest this evening, Danny Lewis, Noel Pugh. It is going to be a great show, especially for James Jones, because for once he may have a chance of winning the West Ham Mystery Player Quiz. Danny, James is very easy fodder. You should be in with this tonight.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
You don't like that start?
Nah.
Well, if Will was here, he would have been the brunt of my jokes. But as Danny, you know, is a special guest, I thought it would have to be you this evening, James.
Yeah, I get that. But, you know, I was quite good at the beginning with the quiz.
Beginning, yeah. Then you faded away. The bubble had burst. Danny really is there for the taking tonight. Well, it is a packed show. We are talking West Ham and West Ham only. Everything where the Hammers are concerned. We're going to be talking a little bit about that international break, although real football has returned. The academy football, is that back? West Ham producing some top new youngsters. And what better to talk to about the youngsters than Tony Carr will be joining us. You won't want to miss that. The quiz will also be taking place. Will may be off, but the quiz is always on. Then we will look to the game on the weekend, the first Premier League game that is back, 12:30 this Saturday. It is Everton, and it is a tricky tie. You may think Everton in the relegation zone. West Ham don't have a great history against Everton. We're going to be talking all about that. But you can join the show tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558 or WhatsApp. James?
We're streaming live.
We're streaming live. There
YouTube.
You go. YouTube.
Get on it.
Get on it. Look at James. Look at Danny. Look at me. Choose whatever you decide and enjoy the show. Tweet us your questions or, well, it's not tweet on YouTube, is it? But put us your questions and we will endeavour to answer them on the show. Let's start with you, Danny. You are a special guest. Obviously, it's been the international break. Wasn't the best ending before West Ham losing to Crystal Palace. They were on this fantastic run. Great form considering the way they started the Premier League season. James has well described that loss to Man City as a free hit. It's been brilliant since then. What have you made of the season so far?
Yeah, it's definitely been a good start. I mean, you know, you can't really complain when we were close to being within the top four at this stage, but that almost makes it even more frustrating that we lost against Palace because, you know, to go into the international break and be top four would have been incredible. And to be honest, it's sort of the loss happened at the worst sort of time because it's not like you can come back the next week and put it right. You know, you've got to wait 2 weeks or however long it is until you can actually go and get another result.
Yeah, he's so right, ain't he, James? The wonderful thing about football is you normally play every 2-3 days, whether it's in the cup or another midweek action game. When it is international break, you have to simmer on that defeat for that extra week longer, and we have to talk about it a little bit more, you know, dig a little bit deeper, and it does hurt, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. I mean,
are you over it, by the way?
Yeah, I am over it. I've had 2 weeks to think about it, and I'm over it.
2 weeks too many.
2 weeks too many. But then my hope is that the players have had time to think about it, and we've not had many players out on international duty, any big players anyway. I know Yarmolenko's been away for Ukraine. He scored a goal against Portugal last night, which is, you know, lovely. And Declan Rice as well. But
I was going to say, any big players, Declan Rice has been out.
Declan Rice has been out as well. And, you know, but other than that, everyone else in the squad has been, you know, at the training ground with Pellegrini working on putting that result right. And, you know, everyone knows how much that result really, really annoyed me, rightly or wrongly. But hopefully, my hope is that, you know, they've spent those 2 weeks really sort of, you know, knuckling down, putting that result behind them, you know, mentally, and working on going to Everton and getting a result, because it's been a good start to the season, don't get me wrong, but, you know, we need to now push on. We haven't won in 2 games, we drew the game before that. We need to now ensure that we don't go on a run without a win. It's important that if we're going to fight for this top six, then we've got to, you know, start winning these football matches, and Everton haven't been a great place. So yeah, it's been a long international break, but I'm hoping that, you know, we can use it to our advantage and take 3 points this weekend.
Well, the last international break, Pellegrini said it was a great chance for the players to work on their defensive positioning, their tackling, and it obviously worked because coming out of that first international break, West Ham did go on that run. You know, they was unbeaten, they were playing good football. What has he said this time around, Danny? What do you think West Ham have worked on or they should have worked on? And can you expect a similar run of results this time around?
Well, I think in terms of having Roberto in goal because of Fabianski being injured, that's huge. Definitely probably useful in terms of, you know, having him working with the back four day in, day out, you know, working on playing out from the back, all that sort of thing. I'd say that's probably what's mostly been worked on.
Interesting. Well, we have had a call into the studio from Richard. Thank you for calling, Richard. You want to talk about West Ham's start to the season and the chances they've created and scored and missed. What have you made of it so far, Richard?
So far this season, I was really impressed the way Manuel Pellegrini has been teaching all the players this season and how we're getting good results. And that, I would say, that result against Man United at home way back in September was, I think, was the biggest chances are, because like us West Ham fans were saying, if we want to get in Europe, I think we're going to have to take on the big teams such as Man United and all of that. But that missed chance to go third against Crystal Palace at home was a big miss. And obviously, I think, That was a good performance, but despite the result, but it's like I said, I think the chances are that we're going to improve on that, starting with this week, this weekend's game against Everton away. Now, if we can get a good result on that, I think that can push us to in the top five possibly by the end of the season.
Richard, how would you like to see Pellegrini line us up at Everton? You know, I mean, you should have a fully fit squad, barring Fabianski. Do you think that he should go unchanged and just really go for it attacking wise? Because, you know, that's really worked for us, isn't it?
Yes, it is actually, and I think he does. And I think the Manuel Pellegrini deserves, with the chances are, to bring back with Fabianski and all that. So I think the chances are he should change what he should do. Obviously, we've had a 2 week break, and obviously now that the players are coming back to their clubs now after international, so I reckon that he should make changes, see what he goes for. But if he goes with the same 11 or makes a few changes, that's fine with me, as long as we can get the result that we want.
What have you made of Sebastian Haller this season, Richard? You know, he scored 4 goals so far for us, and you know, he's been a welcome addition, don't you think?
I think he has, because ever since we bought him from I can't remember when he came from, and ever since that Hernandez has gone to Seville, I think that Sebastian has made a big difference, obviously, and the way he's got 4 goals there so far, and I think he will improve for a goal-scoring threat, because, like I said, we need the people to score goals. And obviously, I think Sebastian Haller is the one possibly to take us this club forward if we're going to get a chance in Europe. Obviously, I think the other players will help him to improve on that. So I reckon, yes, he will get more goals this season, especially in cup games, because although we missed a chance on the League Cup, though, because that defeat against Oxford. But obviously, when he gets his chances and he scores goals, I reckon we're going to improve the results that we need anyway. So, yeah.
Well, we certainly hope it will improve. Richard, thank you so much for calling into the show. We really appreciate you calling us. And you can call as well, 0208 70 20 558. We just heard from Richard there. Let's talk a little bit about, Danny, what you alluded to earlier, because we mentioned that Roberto is now in goal, and we spoke about not many players to speak about on an international break, but obviously the news coming out that Fabianski, you know, it's a blow because he's going to be out until next year. How big of a loss is this for West Ham, James, considering he was the player of the year last season?
It was a massive loss. We spoke about it briefly last week. That was before we really knew the extent of the injury. and how long he'd be out for. But, you know, the reports are saying that he's had an operation and, you know, he's going to be out until the new year, 2020. And it's a massive blow because we've heard all the players and the manager come out and say they trust Roberto and all this and that. But, you know, he's not kept a clean sheet. And well, apart from when it was against, what, Notts County in the Cup?
Newport,
same thing. Same difference. But, yeah, I mean, that's the only clean sheet he's managed to keep for us, conceding four against Oxford, which isn't great. Not all down to him, no. I mean, it wasn't just him. It was a really poor team performance, as we know. But there is a worry that, you know, we haven't really got a backup keeper that we can actually sort of trust and rely on. And while our previous backup goalkeeper, former number one as well, is about to win the Premier League with Liverpool. And it breaks your heart, it really does, but it is what it is. We're going to have to just suck it up and get on with it.
How mad is it, Danny, that, you know, they did let someone like that go? You can't, you know, ever envisage these scenarios happening when your number one keeper does go down. But, you know, this is the West Ham fan show. I don't want to talk about Spurs, but they're pulling their hair out. They've obviously lost Lloris, and now they've re-signed Michel Vorm because they're worried about their number two, because it can completely change your team's outlook, can't it? Because the defence, they feel a little bit more nervous. And he is a rock for West Ham, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I think it's not so much that we let Adrian go, because I'm pretty sure I've read that, you know, he sort of really wanted first team football. Mm. And the only reason that he went to Liverpool is because it is Liverpool. So you can't really blame him for wanting that after sitting on the bench for a good couple of years and all that sort of thing. But I think the main issue is the fact that they didn't go out and think, you know, we're going to sign someone that's really trustworthy. Therefore, we're going to go and buy get two keepers on a free, both cheap wages, happy days, when really, you know, you've got to have this eventuality in mind. And, you know, you've got to consider that, you know, there is a point where Roberto's going to have to step in. Even, you know, if Fabianski hadn't got injured, that Oxford game, you know, it still would have happened and we'd still be out of the cup, partly because our keeper isn't up to scratch. And, you know, when I was watching the Crystal Palace game, I came away thinking, oh, well, one positive of the game is that despite the fact that Roberto's conceded two, he didn't make any absolute howlers. And when you're looking at a Premier League football game, that shouldn't really be the case.
James, are we judging it too quickly? Because Danny said there, you know, we've signed two untrustworthy keepers, but no football club signs an untrustworthy keeper. Obviously, they believe that he is trustworthy. Mm. Are we quick to judge, or maybe did West Ham get it wrong on this one?
I think perhaps we have been quick to judge. I mean, he was signed as a cup goalkeeper. I don't think anyone really expected him to.
We can't just sign a keeper on that, though, can you? Because injuries do happen. I know, like Danny said, we can't just sign and think, oh, we'll play in the cup games. Yeah, because
I think, yeah, but I mean, Pellegrini would have looked at it and gone, right, okay, well, that's going to be my backup keeper, and your backup keeper is going to be your cup keeper. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, you have to have it. You know, one part of your mind going, you know, if we do have an injury, I need that backup keeper to be good enough to step in.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, perhaps we have been quite, you know, judgmental too early. He hasn't had before now, he's not had a really consistent run of games because he's only been brought into playing the cups. And what Danny said there about, you know, he didn't make a howler against Palace, so it should be seen as a good thing. But I don't think he's really made a howler at all for us, really. He's just shown that, you know, he doesn't like to dive very often. That's the truth.
That's a worry for a keeper.
I've seen a few goals go into, but why don't you dive? Or you did dive, you need to put your arm out. So I think it's probably a little bit too early to really judge him as, you know, this really awful goalkeeper that we're stuck with until the new year, because he might pull off a couple of worldies at the weekend and he'll be a hero. So until he makes an absolute howler and actually costs West Ham a goal directly from a mistake, then I think we're just going to have to trust him, trust Pellegrini's judgment, and get behind him and get behind the team. Because if he knows the fans are on his back and fans don't trust him, then that's going to lead to problems, I think.
Well, trust him and get behind the team is the message from James Jones. Talking of the team, though, someone who will know a little bit more than us, it is Tony Carr, former West Ham Director of Youth Development, and he's joining us next.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your Fan Station.
You're listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, James Jones and Danny Lewis. We were just talking about that international break, and you also joined us. Call us on 0208 7020 558. You can also WhatsApp on the same number or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. But the callers just keep happening, and this one, well, this is pretty special because we're now joined by Tony Carr, former West Ham Director of Youth Development. Tony, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thank you for giving us a little bit of your time. It's a real pleasure to have you on. Firstly, Tony, what have thank you, Tony. It's a real pleasure to have you on. A delight to talk to you. What have you made of the season so far, Tony?
I think, obviously, after the first game, Manchester City, there was, you know, apprehension about where we're going to go. And then we've gone on this great run and sadly ended last week against Palace. But, no, I'm hopeful. I think we've got depth in the squad now and an attacking force that can score goals, and hopefully we can continue and finish in perhaps the highest place we've finished for a long, long time.
Hi, Tony. It's good to have you on again, mate. While the first team's been doing really well, the youth team is kind of, or the development squad as they call it now, is really, really, really coming into its own. I mean, I know they lost to Cheltenham in the cup the other day, but the run of games they've gone unbeaten has been pretty impressive. And there are a number, 16 games unbeaten streak, and a number of youngsters really making a name for themselves. Have you been keeping an eye on that?
Yeah, I've definitely been looking at that because obviously, you know, that's where I was doing all my work, you know, with all those years. But no, definitely looked at that. The development squad now have done terrifically well. The anomaly of that was that I met all the team on the train. They were going to Cheltenham and I was on my way up north doing a day with the Premier League, I wished them all the best, and it was a young squad up there, and I know they got beat 4-3, but I think, you know, they played very, very well for long periods of the game. So yeah, they're doing well. There's some good players amongst them, and even the 18s are having a steady season. I often speak to Mark Phillips, the coach, and Dimitri and Potsy with the development squad have done really, really well.
I mean, Anthony Scully's sort of caught the headlines recently alongside Nathan Holland, but Scully's Premier League 2 Player of the Month winner with 8 goals in September. Is he one player that you can see really breaking into the first team anytime soon? Or do you think he needs a little bit more time? Because fans are really getting a little bit sort of, you know, carried away with all these youngsters doing pretty well.
Yeah, I think you've got to be careful about, you know, pushing youngsters too early, too quickly. I mean, Scully has always been a good young player. Played, you know, he's in the Irish international scene and doing very, very well in that. And during my time there, he was with the Irish under-18s and doing really well. I think that at the start of the season, he was finding it hard to get in the team. He'd been a long period injured, and now he's having a settled spell in the team, and he's scoring goals, and he's always had an eye for a goal. And he's always had that little bit extra that you need sometimes in and around the box and can score something different. And, yeah, I've got high hopes for him. Maybe the next step for him may be a loan to go out and, like Grady Deer, and doing terrifically well at West Brom. And I think Anthony Scully, that is, to go out on loan, I think would be a really, really good plus for him in January. If he's not, obviously, the first team. And I'm not close enough to know how far away or how close he is. So a loan is a really good next step to see if he, you know, once he plays against the men in league football, you find out whether they can cope with it or not.
You mentioned, you know, the fact of playing against league football teams. And we sort of mentioned the EFL trophy before. And Scully actually scored twice in the first game. How useful do you think it is for these players to play against first team opposition?
I think it's vital. I think you know, your development years through the youth system, it's age on age. So it's 16s, 14s with 14s, 18s with 18s. But when you play league football, you know, you could be an 18-year-old new playing against a 34-year-old, you know, seasoned professional, and you know, ages in between. So I think it does, you know, I call it men's football, you know, the real stuff, the nitty gritty, you know, mortgages depend on it, you know, livelihoods depend on the points, you know, you're playing to win, You know, it becomes very, very important. And it's the lifeblood of any clubs that have and keep winning. So to expose young players to that environment and the harsh realities of, you know, league football, I think is the next step for most promising young players. And if they can't get it at their own club or don't get enough of it through the EFL games and the Checkatrade Trophy, etc., I think a loan is invaluable for their development.
So Nathan Holland is another player who might actually be going out on loan. Do you reckon that's a good move for him?
No, I think all loans are good. It depends where they go, of course, and I think what level they play. But just the fact that they're out and playing league football somewhere, I think is a good thing. I mean Nathan Holland was just arriving at the club as I left. So I don't really know him a lot. I don't know a lot. All them other boys, we've been Scully and Grady. I mean, I know them quite intimately because I was with them when they were young players. So I know well. So, but Nathan, I don't know. But any loan, I think, is a good thing. If they're not going to be in around the first team when you're sort of 20, 21, I think you need to go and play men's football, league football. Mm. So, yes, I think that would be a good thing.
I mean, you mentioned Grady there. He's having a really, really great time at West Brom at the moment, isn't he? And, you know, he sort of broke into the first team last season, made a real impact, and he's gone out on loan this year, playing under Slaven Bilic, who I'm assuming he knows from when Slav was at the club.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do you think it would be beneficial for the club to perhaps recall him on the back of the form that he's sort of put in the Championship, or is the club better off just leaving him to have one full season at West Brom before then trying him again?
I think that would depend on the manager's needs at the time. You know, obviously you can't recall him until January.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is with Grady, to be honest. I don't know the intimate details of the contract and what they've done. It might already be a season-long loan, I don't know. But if he's going to be in and around and there's a need for him in the first-team environment, definitely call him back.
Mm.
But if he's not going to feature and the manager can't see at this point there's a place for him in the team, leave him where he is. I mean, one of Grady's downfalls as a younger player, not so much now, was that his finishing was, he was getting great positions and not score enough goals. And but he's starting to address that now. I think he scored two on his debut for the club last year in the League Cup, and he's been scoring for West Brom. So he's starting to add goals to his talent, and I think he'll come back certainly a better player. There's no two ways about that.
Tony, just quickly, we hear about this big team mentality thrown around with West Ham, and the manager wants them to take the next step. How do they take the next step? What is next for them to just get that little bit higher on the ladder?
I think the next step is, for me, if we're going to be a big team and we feel we're going to be, you know, amongst that top half, top eight, top six, even, if we're going to think we should be in one of those after a defeat like Crystal Palace. Where, I mean, I went to the game, actually. As I said before, my son-in-law, his brother-in-law is a season. And I went to the game Saturday, and I was disappointed. The game was a bit flat. We didn't play particularly well. Picked it up a little bit second half. Scored the goal and thought, now we can push on and win the game. It was a bit like West Ham of old, you know, in good positions and then you lose. So I think, for me, the next step is going to Everton this weekend and getting a result, a win or a draw. We've got to go there and get a win or a draw, because I think that then says, right, OK, Palace was a blip. Now we're picking up points again to maintain our position to challenging that top half of the table. So I think the next game, this game this week, is vital. And if we can do that and then go on another run, then you can start really talking about, you know, we've got the credentials to go on and maybe get a place in Europe next season. But I think after a home defeat, I think we need to bounce back very quickly.
Tony, I think you've just echoed what they've been saying in the studio for weeks. They want to bounce back and get a result. Thank you so much for coming on, Tony.
Okay, no problem.
Tony, really appreciate it. Tony Carr there, the former West Ham Director of Youth Development. A real pleasure to get him on. Someone who has tremendous insight. Really good for us to hear it there. And he says to take that next step, West Ham have to get a result this weekend. We'll be looking at that game. But next, though, of course, it is the West Ham quiz.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, James Jones and Danny Lewis. We were just talking to Tony Carden. We really enjoyed that one. So much insight there, talking about the next generation coming through, all the hot talents, the hot prospects, talking about that international break. We will be looking at that Everton game and we will be doing the quiz. But before that, we want you to get involved. We said tweet at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You've been getting involved. James, YouTube is going wild.
Yeah, it's mad. We've got some fans on YouTube.
Woohoo!
Neil from Down Under's joining us again. And we've got Darren as well. Don't know where Darren's from, but...
Let us know.
Let us know, Darren, if you're still listening. But Darren's asked one specific question. He said, he's heard that Pellegrini's looking for a lone striker and maybe a lone centre-back in the January transfer. What do you guys think we need? Dan?
What Ooh. Do we need? Well,
just put you on the spot.
I think I'm not really sure if we need a backup striker because I think it would be pretty harsh on Albion Ayeti to bring someone in on loan when we've just spent £8 million on him and he's only played 2 games so far. Mm. So unless, you know, he plays and there's a clear reason that we need someone else, then maybe don't bother with the striker, especially as we might have Zande Silva coming in.
Mm. Another keeper? Potentially. I know earlier I said don't be quick to judge, but if you're still in the mix and there has been, let's say, one or two mistakes, not necessarily hurlers, could you see that happening, Danny?
I think the fact that they got both Martin and Roberto, it would be a little bit overkill if they did get one more. It's sort of like, you know, they've sort of laid their own... they've made their bed and they've sort of got to lay with it and stick with who they've gone with now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think a keeper will be on the cards. I think another striker probably wouldn't hurt. But, you know, we've been talking about the youngsters with Tony and that. I'd rather see one or two of the youngsters get given a few minutes. We've got the squad there. We've got quite a large youth squad as well. Give some of the youngsters a few minutes. It doesn't mean you can't send them out on loan. But, I think we've shown that loan moves rarely work these days, particularly in January. In the summer, they can work if you get them for all season. But January, it's a risky market for me. You can't really go and spend big money either. So, I don't know. It's a difficult one for me.
What do you make of the January transfer window? Some managers want it scrapped. They don't think we should have a winter window. You know, some managers say it's harsh. You need reinforcements or to push on. It can change a season. I suppose it can help and hinder. But then if it helps someone else and you're up there fighting or down there fighting, they might then start to do better at the expense of you. What do you make of it, James?
Well, I think it's designed for those clubs that desperately need to make some like reinforcements to get themselves out of trouble. Mm. You know, you rarely see, you know, City, United, Arsenal, Chelsea spend big in January. They might plug a few gaps, and those sort of clubs are naturally going to have to spend big money because all the other clubs know they got a lot of money. So you're going to see them spend big if they have to, if they get big injuries. But you know, the likes of clubs in mid-table, you know, they're in mid-table, they're safe. No real need to panic in the window. And I think that will be us in January. I can't imagine Pellegrini will panic too much. And, you know, we're led to believe he's quite happy with the squad. As I said, the January window is difficult for a number of reasons. There's not much available because no one wants to sell their best players halfway through a season. And I'd rather see youth players be given opportunity at that time of the season.
There you have it from James and Danny. We really appreciate the YouTube questions. Please keep them coming in. We will try to read as many as possible. Or tweet us, WhatsApp us. We will endeavour to answer all your questions on the West Ham show. But like I said, next up, it is the West Ham quiz.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
It is time for the West Ham quiz. You're listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, James Jones, and special guest Danny Lewis. Danny, I want you to win this week. I can be as biased as I like. Normally, I want James to win. Will knows that. James knows it. But this week, James, I want you to go Dan. Although you need a bit of form, you need a bit of confidence.
So harsh. Can't believe it.
This is, honestly, I'm not ashamed to admit, it's my favourite bit of the whole week. I do love the West Ham Mystery Player Quiz. Danny, I'm sure you know of the rules. There are 3 players, 5 clues. The quicker you get the player, shout it out, you will get the point. Whoever gets the most points this week will win, because it's a one-off. In the scores between Will and James, it is 4-4, 12-12. It is so close. I mean, it's unbelievable. James had a lead. He was flying, and then he folded.
I gave him a chance. That's what I did.
Gave him a chance. He's putting it politely. But now, though, this is Danny versus James, and this is the West Ham quiz. Oh, dramatic. I love it. Chris Tarrant, where are you at?
I can see Danny sweating a little bit here.
And there's no lifelines. There's no ask the audience. Okay, this is the West Ham quiz. Player number one, clue number one. Fingers on the buzzers. Danny, if you know the answer, you just let us know. Clue number one, began their playing career at Tottenham. Clue number two, scored Swindon's first ever goal in the Premier League.
Oh, no. I don't know that one.
James was eager, but he's pulled it back. Clue number three. Last goal for West Ham came in the 5-4 win against Bradford in 2000.
Oh, that's quite difficult, because I can't remember the goal scorers.
Our producer just said something that he couldn't have been further off. It's embarrassing. Clue number four. Loved a Cruyff turn.
Love the Cruyff turn. Oh, you've lost me here, Reece.
I feel like this is before my time.
Well, do you remember the 5-4? You know of it. You must know of
the 5-4.
I know of
it, yeah.
I mean, famously.
Well,
for
Danny, this may help you out or it may not. Last clue, shirt number 16. Anyone that wore 16, ringing any bells?
This
and
is
just
madness.
To say, you just mentioned Reece there. As always, Reece does a superb, sterling job on the quiz. Reece, we can't get you to play because obviously you know all the answers. You're the one who digs out the clues, but we really appreciate it. They are struggling on player number one. No guesses? Do you want me to come back to it? Should we
come
bank
back
it?
To it? Yeah,
right. We're going to bank
that's
it.
I mean, it's mad because it's a famous game in West Ham's history.
Clue number player number two. Clue number one. The current national manager of India. Also, if you're playing at home, tweet us or on YouTube, let us know. Call us 0208 7020 558. WhatsApp your answers. Clue number two for player number two. Scored his only West Ham goal away at Newcastle. James,
is it Stan Lazaridis?
It is not.
Ah.
Clue number three. Made 84 appearances for Derby County in the Premier League.
Oh, no, it can't be that then.
Derby.
I had one player come to mind when he said Derby, but it's not Paolo Wanchope.
It is not. Clue number four, Croatian international. It's definitely not Wanchope.
Davor Suka.
No.
Ooh.
What, for 84 for Derby County?
I don't know.
Come on, James. Come on. Clue
this
number five, shirt number five.
Oh, Igor Stimac.
That is correct.
Yes.
1-0 to James Jones, but... Danny, there are still two players, the one we've banked and the final one here. So you can still win tonight. I'm cheering you on. Final player, clue number one. Ended his playing career with Hartlepool in 2012. Clue number
Is
two.
Is Marlon Harewood?
No.
Oh, shit, he was the name that came into my head as well. It was a great shout.
This is the easiest one of the night. I think you're both going to get this quickly. Clue number two. Scored on his West Ham debut against Sunderland in 2007.
Oh.
Clue number three, 23 appearances in his only season with the club in 2007-2008. Clue number four, shirt number 15. Clue number five, possibly my favourite clue of any player we've ever done on this, and I laughed when I saw it earlier. Clue number five, plays the trumpet.
What?
Yeah,
plays the trumpet.
If you know who the player is, you'll know why this clue. It's absolutely superb. I can't believe Raffin to bank two players.
I know, it's mad. Will's probably sitting at home laughing his head off.
Yeah, Will, and he knows
he's probably
good
with the answers 100%
as well. Knows. Right, we're struggling here. I'm going to quickly run through the clues again. Ended his playing career with Hartlepool 2012. Scored on his West Ham debut against Sunderland 2007. 23 appearances in his only season with the club 2007-08. Shirt number 15. Plays the trumpet.
Adam Newton.
No. Shall I give you a clue?
That's a really bad shout for me. I apologise.
I'm going to give you a really obvious clue. Will be known for his playing time with Newcastle in the Premier League.
Solano.
Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. James, where was you on that one? It is 1-1, which means we go back to player number one. I'm going to quickly run down the clues and then I'll give you a sixth clue.
Okay.
Clue number one, began playing career at Tottenham. Clue number two, scored Swindon's first ever goal in the Premier League. Clue number three, last goal for West Ham came in that 5-4 win against Bradford in 2000. Clue number four, loved the Cruyff term. Clue number five, shirt number... it just went... shirt number 16.
So I was going to say Dave Kitson.
That is incorrect.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty... Yeah. I mean, because I know Di Canio scored that day... Joe Cole.
Come on. You're incorrect.
Frank
so far.
Lampard scored that day. Samassia Boo. It's definitely not Samassia Boo.
Started their career at Tottenham, then had loan spells at Doncaster, Cambridge, Portsmouth, Brentford, Ipswich. Went to Swindon before ending up at West Ham.
This is madness. I'm sorry.
Our producer's just got it. Unbelievable. He's not even a West Ham fan. What is going on here? We actually need Will back. I'm going to give you the initials.
Okay.
You're going to get straight away, obviously, from this. J.M.
John Moncur.
That is correct. Danny, unbelievably, has won this 2-1. Not only has he won, not only... Is James Jones fuming in the studio? The man has gone a shade of red. He never wants to go. He was 1-0 up and he has lost to Danny. The hurt and the rage continues for James Jones because not only has he lost twice, he doesn't want to be here right now. He's lost twice to Will Pugh on the bands. Now Danny, the special guest, has come in 1-0 down and gone, it's not a big deal. I'm going to work out John Moncur. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We're going to need a moment because James Jones is absolutely seething and he better get it together because next we're talking all about Everton.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, a fuming James Jones and special guest and winner, Danny Lewis. What a victory. Danny told me, you know, he's only really started following in West Ham 2002, but he's still getting clues like that from the 2000. James, you say we are West Ham, but are we? You know?
I'm really out of form. Even Neil from Down Under said I need to do my homework.
You do.
So, Neil, I'm going to be doing my homework, mate. I thought I'd done enough, but Danny's beat me fair and square. I'm in a rut at the moment. I just don't know what to do about it.
You're in a rut, but I'm going to give you a positive. If Will was here tonight, he may have taken the lead, but still you're deadlocked, so you're still in contention, mate.
Yeah.
Maybe tonight you might have been one down.
Yeah.
So, you know, James, he's not taking it, but look, we're going to turn our attentions to the game on the weekend. It is Everton. We know West Ham have tricky form against them, but Everton, they are struggling themselves at the minute, down in the relegation zone. Someone who's going to know all about it, and I'm delighted to see he's joining us now, Gavin Buckland, who is Everton's, Gavin, I hope I've got this right, official statistician. Am I correct, Gavin? And thank you for joining us.
You are correct, and you said that very well. Not the easiest thing to say.
Gavin, I'll be honest, I've had about a good 45 attempts before saying it, before you come on air. So if I've got it right in a 45th time, mate, I'll take it. Huge game on the weekend, Gavin. Obviously, Everton really need to spark their season into life. How are you feeling ahead of the fixture?
Trepidation. I think Marco's under pressure. You know, we've been on four consecutive defeats. We've not had five for 14 years, I think. And obviously, there's been rumours that Marco's had three games to save his job. I think, obviously, the international break didn't really come at the right time. Gives people supporters to shoe on things. That just adds to the pressure. and we're playing the West Ham team. I think we're unlucky against Palace, really. And when you look at the team that they can set up, and they look very strong opposition. I think we used to have the bogey. They used to be our bogey team. Well, used to be our bogey team, or thereabouts, 2 years ago. But you've beaten us three times, I think, in the last couple of seasons. So I think we're no longer your bogey team.
Gavin, what do you make of Marco Silva this season and Everton in general? Because, you know, it came with a bit of pedigree. Well, you know, a bit of a reputation of, you know, he did okay at Hull. He did all right at Everton, and then down tools when he tried tapping him out with both through the previous season. grew a beard just in protest, didn't he? You finally got him. Not a bad season last year, but this year it's kind of gone backwards a little bit. Do you think that, is he really the right man for the job at Everton?
Well, the owner thought so. He appointed him. He's very much Moscheri's appointment. I think what Moscheri wanted to bring was, you know, a new, fresh coach to, you know, coach modern football at the club. You know, in a similar way to you saw Team Pochettino do at Spurs. So on that basis, I fully supported the appointment of him, albeit with some, you know, a little bit of reservations because of his record at Hull. Where he took over mid-season was a bit difficult, but obviously he sort of down tools at Watford for whatever reason. This season, I think, he struggled. I mean, to be fair to him, there's two things I'd say for him this season. I'm not sure whether he got the players he wanted in the transfer window. I think he definitely needs another centre-half and probably a striker, you know, as in a senior striker who's established. And also, he's not had a fully fit midfield all season. Obviously, that's just a gay, which... Fair enough, got good money for him. But Gbaran is the lad we got from the Bundesliga. He's only played, you know, 1.5 games. Andre Gomez got from Barcelona, played a lot of last season. You know, played quite well. He could have just come back from fitness. And we obviously got Delphin from Manchester City. He come in late. So we've really not had a fully functioning midfield since the start of the campaign. So some stuff's gone against him. Against that, we just haven't performed. To be fair, maybe one game out of, you know, 7 or 8. And I can understand supporters' frustrations with the manager and his continual not changing the tactics. Always playing 4-2-3-1 with no variation, you know.
Earlier in the show, we spoke about how the international break could be quite useful for West Ham from the point of view as, you know, we can get Roberto training with the back four. Would you say that this international break has come at a really good time for Everton, for the likes of Moyes Keane and Iwobi, who have come into the club?
Yeah, I don't like going into the international break on a downer. I think it gives you 2 weeks. Supporters will up the ante a bit, you know. But I think if you don't manage under pressure, that 2 week break just allows that pressure to build, you know, and makes the West Ham game even more important than what it would have been if it had been 7 days after the Burnley defeat. So for me, I don't think it does come at a good time. The only benefit you get is maybe give Silva a bit of time just to think about things and take a step back. But for me, I'd rather play as soon as possible when you're on a bad run, you know.
I mean, at the beginning of the season, Everton were in the conversation alongside us at West Ham and the likes of Leicester and Wolves as being top six contenders, potentially top four. That, you know, at the moment it's not going too well for Everton and for Wolves. I mean, given that we've still got, 30 games left, has the target changed for Everton? Has the expectation changed amongst the fans?
That's a good question. I think the expectation on Silva is to get us into the European places. I mean, so you would say seventh. Last year we finished just outside. So I think the expectation is still there. He's helped in that, in the fact that, you know, because apart from Liverpool, everybody else has really struggled, haven't they? So you can win two or three games on the bounce and go up 7 or 8 places at the moment in the Premier League. So I think, you know, that sort of means the aspirations are still there, to be honest with you.
Gavin, I just wanted to, obviously, before we get your score prediction, I just wanted to quickly mention you've got a book coming out, haven't you? Money Can't Buy You Love. Honestly, Gavin, I wish I knew that ages ago. But can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's called Money Can't Buy Us Love. It's a play on the Beatles song. It's a story about when Everton were the emerging millionaires in the 1960s. We were run by Littlewoods, you know, the Pools giants. by the name of John Moores. We were the sort of Chelsea stroke Manchester City of the early 60s, going around buying players for exorbitant fees. And we got a lot of success, and we're always in the mix during the decade. And it's the story of that success against, you know, the 60s were quite a sort of world changing decade anyway. Lots of things had changed during that time, especially against that backdrop of all the changes that were going on, you know, around the world politically, economically, culturally, and it sort of tells that tale. And it's been out for a few months, and I've thankfully had a few good reviews. West Ham get a mention as well, by the way.
Oh, well,
no, that's all right then.
We'll definitely have to read it now, Gavin. we'll have a look at that. And if
I tell you why, everybody hates, you know, like sort of people don't like teams with money, you know, Man City and Chelsea have had to stick over the last 15 years. You beat us 4-2, I think, in 1963 at the Bowling Ground. And the Guardian's headline the next day is West Ham beats England's most unpopular team.
Love that.
Well, we'll be sure to check that out, Gavin. And please, if you fancy it, check out Gavin's book there. Gavin, we have to put you on the hot seat. What is your score prediction for the weekend? And remember, this is a West Ham fan show. I was just about to say Everton then.
Oh, you know what? I mean, they said Silva's been given 3 games to save his job. So tomorrow, Saturday is a must-not-lose game. And on that basis, I'm going to sit on the old Alan Shearer fence here and go 1-1.
One-all.
I think it'll be a tough game. You see West Ham's team. It's very impressive, isn't it? You know, from when I think of West Ham teams over the last 10, 15 years. Very impressive front four for a start. And I think we'll do well to get a draw, to be honest with you.
Well,
I can't see us winning.
I think West Ham may take a draw. Tony Carr said it's the result, either a win or a draw. Gavin, no, we're really pleased to have you on. Gavin Buckland there, Everton's official statistician. Gavin, thank you so much. Please check out his book. I have to turn, obviously, to you two now. Firstly, 2 questions. How do you think the game will go? And what is your score prediction for the weekend? Gavin, the Everton fan, is going for 1-1. James?
I said a few weeks ago that, you know, if we can avoid defeat away from home and then win our home games, we'll have a good season. Okay, we're going to lose one or two along the way, but we'll have a good season generally. I looked at this fixture at the beginning of the season and went, that's going to be difficult away from home at Everton. They're meant to be up there with us in that fight for the top six, and they haven't been. They've been underwhelming. And this is the sort of game, given the form the opposition are in, Everton will rock up and win 4-0, because that's West Ham. Am I wrong, Danny?
Just both raised our eyebrows.
Am I wrong, Danny? Am I wrong?
It is very true. But
it's very West Ham thing to do. Although, I don't think it will happen. I think we'll go there and we'll win 2-1.
2-1, but he's going for the 3 points. He's going for the victory, Danny. How do you think it will play out and score prediction?
I'm going to say 3-2. I think Yarmolenko is coming back from the international break on a massive high. I think the other ones will have gelled even more with the fact that they've had time to get together and play. And, you know, I still think we're not going to be incredible at the back, but I think we're going to be okay. So I reckon 3-1 or 3-2.
Well, 2 wins in the studio. I was expecting nothing less. What a way to start after coming back from that international break. And obviously, it is away, so that would be a fantastic 3 points. The first game in the Premier League season. Well, this was the West Ham show with We Are West Ham, James Jones, and special guest winner of the evening, Danny Lewis. You can tune in to every West Ham show on Love Sport Radio every Tuesday, 7 to 8. Next up, it is Palace.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.